you're not connected to the Lord, you don't feel anything. You won't hear anything. So we need to be connected. But this morning we want to continue on in the series that we commenced a few weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago I left you in chapter 2, just came into chapter 3, and we looked at the first three churches represented in those two chapters. John writing to the seven churches. But I want to remind you of a couple of things while the sheets are being handed out, that these were local churches. They were active churches in the first century. So they were not just airy-fairy things. They were real churches, real people. But then I also want to remind you that these seven churches, if you remember the diagram I showed you of the seven churches, and they were all in close proximity, but not one of those seven churches are around today. Quite interesting. We looked at the church at Ephesus, we looked at the church at Smyrna, and we looked at the church at Pergamum. And I said, your first sheet had the fourth church there, and I said, bring it along. How many didn't bring it? Too bad. But anyway, we're going to go on after Pergamum to the church at Thyatira. There are lessons to be learned from these seven churches for all church history, past, present, and future. And so that's why we come to the fourth church, which is the church at... You know you can talk back to me. Okay, Thyatira, Thyatira, doesn't matter, they're all correct. Doesn't matter how you pronounce it. I pronounce it Thyatira, but that's fine. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29, we read these words. The Lord of the church is telling John to write these words in verse 18. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God. Take note. Whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. I know all the things you do. I have seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance. And I can see your constant improvement in all these things. But I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away from her evil deeds. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and the intentions of every person. And I will give to each of you whatever you deserve. But I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed this false teaching. Deeper truths, as they call them, depths of Satan, actually. I will ask nothing more of you except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. Anyone who has ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Many people read that and say, don't understand it. It's quite simple. If you look at that very carefully, the summary of what the Son of God is saying, telling John to write to the the church, the leader of the church, he says, you're following a false prophet who's teaching you evil things. In verse 20, he says, the church had an active false prophet, a prophetess. And in verse 20, it says, but I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. It's so simple. It's so easy for Satan today to lead his church astray. And the many churches are being led astray. Yeah, we come together every Sunday and we go away. But there's so much happening. Actually, we're living in a technological world. You don't need to go to church anymore. You can just turn on and listen to any preacher in the world preaching. And we get all kinds of information from everywhere. I hold to this truth. What God is saying to us here today cannot be taken for some other church somewhere else. Because he speaks specifically to the local congregation. And amen. That's what I believe strongly. And quite often in my ministry, I've come across people who've heard someone preach on the same subject. And they come to me and say, oh, but so-and-so says this, this. I said, go and take up membership in that church. That's what you should do. That's what God is saying for that church, that group, not for us. This is what God is saying for us today. And we need to take note of what he's saying to this church at Thyatira. You remember I said when I started this series on the seven churches, these churches, these seven churches represent any church will fall into the bracket of those seven churches. And the sins and the things and the shortcomings that the Lord pointed out in all those churches will be pointed out in every church wherever we go. By the way, someone said, if you find a perfect church, don't join it. Very true. The moment you join it, it's gone. It's imperfect. There is no such a thing as a perfect church. We're all growing into maturity of the image of Jesus Christ. And verse 20 is very clear. She leads my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and eat food offered to idols. It's been a sad thing for me as a pastor, as a minister of God's word over the years, to see the slow decline of the truth of God's word being slowly eroded year by year. A little concession here, a little concession there, instead of coming back to say, this is what God says, this is what we stand by. Well, I'll do that till the last breath. I cannot change what God has written. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not his word. Amen? Right. The second thing I notice here is in the last part of verse 24, it says, I will ask nothing more of you, the Lord says to this church, except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. Not until the next teaching comes along or the next wave comes along, but until I come, hold on to the truth that I have given you. Now, I can assure you that if I went around this congregation, that each one of us have been learning from the day we came to know Jesus Christ till today. And every year as we study the Word of God faithfully daily, I hope you're doing that every day. If you don't feed yourself spiritually, you can't feed yourself physically. No breakfast, no lunch, no dinner. That used to be the rule in my home when I was growing up. And I thank God for it. Yeah, you need to feed your soul with the Word of God. Not with what someone else says. Not even what I say. That's why I say, listen carefully to what I'm preaching. And if I'm not preaching the truth, let me know. I need to correct it. I want to speak the truth of God. Except that you hold tightly. Verse 26. To all who are victorious. How are we going to be victorious? He says it there. Who obey me to the very end. To them I will give the authority over all nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them with clay pots. I like verse 28. They will have the same authority I received from my Father. That's not just words from John. That's the word from the Son of God. Jesus, your Lord and my Lord. He says they will have the same authority I have received from my Father. And I will also give them the morning star. I haven't received it yet. Anyone else received it yet? One day we will, probably. And so it's important for us to notice verse 29. Anyone who has ears to hear, we need to hear it. And what the Spirit is trying to say to us as individuals who make up the body of Christ, the church, we in verse 29. So, the church at Thyatira is a church that is not good, not bad, but they tolerate someone who is off God's word. Let's move to the church at Sardis. I'm moving very quickly today. The church at Sardis is found in chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And this is the message. Write this letter to the angel in the church in Sardis. This is the message from one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all things you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive. Have you heard of a church that's alive? I've heard people say, oh, I like to go to that church because it's alive. I don't know, but have you made the judgment about us here? Are we alive? Five people said yes. What about the rest? All right. I know all things. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. We may have a reputation of being alive. We may go through all the motions and things, but inside, we are dead. And that's what he's saying here. The Lord is saying to this church. He says, wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. So this church that's got a reputation of being alive is almost dead. So don't be taken on with all the trimmings and the trappings that come in church life. You got to say, all right, let's get through all that. Is the heart alive? Is the heart of the church alive? And that's what the Lord is getting to here. You can have all the wonderful excitement of being in church, but is the heartbeat of the church the same as mine? That's what the Lord is after. He says, wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. What a statement. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as unexpected as a thief. Yet there are some in the church, there's still that little group, that remnant in every church. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life. Wow, what a statement. But I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. I want my Lord to say that of me. What about you? That's right. I'd love to hear our Lord saying that about us, right? Anyone who has ears to hear, let him listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to these churches. Now, the church at Sardis is a church that's going to sleep. Almost gone to sleep. They have a reputation that they are alive. So they might have had a wonderful band going. I don't know. I don't think so, but maybe. But they've had all the trappings and trimmings of a wonderful church that's alive. But the Lord's judgment of the church is, you are dying and you're almost dead. And I pray that God will not say this of One Thaggy Baptist Church. That he'll say, you are alive. Keep getting more on fire for me. Amen? That's right. There's nothing Nothing better for a pastor to enjoy a church that's on fire for God. I enjoy it. If the pastor's not on fire, fire him. Very important. Yep. Wake up, strengthen what, Lord, little remains. And so it's important for us to acknowledge what are those things in the body of Christ. Let's take Wonthaggi Baptist. What are those things that we can strengthen? What are those things that we need to, you and I, all of us? We started a membership course, a commitment to the local church yesterday. And I said to the group there, and I said, you know, it's not just signing a piece of paper and saying I'm a member of this church, but it's more than that. It's committing to what the Lord wants to do with you, in you, through you, in the church. And each one of us are here not to be a member to come and sit at church and go away every Sunday and say, wasn't that a great service? No. What's your contribution? What are you doing? What does the Lord want you to do? That's what he says. What little remains, strengthen it. And even what is left, otherwise, what's almost dying will die. Unfortunately, the church at Sardis died. This church went to sleep. But all who are victorious will be clothed in white. And I will never erase their name from the book of life. Which makes me wonder, does he erase names from the book of life? Question mark, I don't know. For him to say that, I will never erase, means he has already written them there and he doesn't want to erase them from there. Hallelujah. I don't know. We'll find out. The sixth church is the Philadelphian church. And here, reading from verses 7 through 13, very important words the Lord is saying to this church. He says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the Son of God, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things that you do. By the way, we don't have to tell him what we do or we don't do. He knows it all. He says, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things that you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obey my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love because you have obeyed my... That's the obedience, the obedience. You have obeyed my command to persevere. I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will have pillars in the temple of my God. And they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God. And they will be citizens in the city of my God. The new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Anyone who has ears to hear? Listen to what the Spirit is saying and understand what he's saying to the churches. I want to just highlight verse 10 here. Because you have obeyed my command to persevere. My friends, it's not starting well, it's finishing well. If we started well, keep pressing on. Keep running the race. Because he says, if you persevere, I will protect you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Let's move on to the last church then. Sorry I have to rush like this. Or we can leave it for next week. Can I have a show of hands, a vote, please? We're a Baptist church, isn't it? We take a vote. Keep going. All right. All right. Last church. The seventh church in Laodicea. Revelation 3, verses 14 to 22. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, Jesus. He is the final authority, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. Who are they? I'm looking at them. We are a brand new recreation in Jesus. Amen? Yeah, it's not just the old you. It's you're new in Christ. You don't seem excited. I'm letting you know that. But he goes on and says here in verse 15, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. No, Lord, not one taggy Baptist. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm, you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me. Gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and anoint from an ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. If the Lord loves you, he will correct you. He will discipline you. Accept it. And he says, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. And this verse has been used so many times out of context. People say the Lord is standing at your door and knocking to someone out there who doesn't know him. No, no, no. The knocking is to the church. This is the context of the verse. Someone said if you take that verse and use it as a text for someone who doesn't know the Lord, it's a context. It's to the church that the Lord is saying, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne. Wow, to the church at Laodicea. He says, those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. This church is a church that is lukewarm. Neither hot nor cold. Have you tried drinking lukewarm water? You can't drink very much. You might like some nice hot water or hot tea or coffee or cold would be nice. Lukewarm. The Lord says, "If because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth." In other words, he says, it's disgusting to me to have lukewarm people. My friends, let's check our hearts and lives today and say, Lord, am I lukewarm? Am I hot or am I cold? You'd rather us be hot or cold. That's what he's saying to this church at Laodicea. He said, I'd rather that you're hot or you're cold, not neutral. I've come across so many Christians say, no, I'm neither this nor that, I'm neutral. Forget it. If you're going to stand with the Lord, you've got to be on the Lord's side, nothing else. You can't have this and that. You've got to decide. Those who are victorious, that's the word that keeps coming through for every one of these churches. The Lord is expecting the church to be victorious. Not the organization of the church, but the church, the body of Christ. He wants us to be victorious. Who is on the Lord's side? Yeah, you know that song? I can see the hands going up. I can see you want to be on the Lord's side. That's great. But you are victorious. He's looking for a victorious body right today in the Bass Coast. He's looking for one here. He's looking for one across the road. He's looking for everyone in Bass Coast to be on the Lord's side, victorious Christians. What a difference that's going to make to Victoria. Am I right? To Australia. Say, Lord, change your church, Lord. Let's learn from these lessons of these seven churches. what the Lord is really saying, each one of us who make up the church right here in Wonthaggi. Father, I'm too one of those members of this body here. And I just want to say this morning that message is for me as much as it is for anyone here. Lord, help us not to be hot or cold. Help us not to be lukewarm or cold. Help us to be on fire for you. I pray this for myself. I pray this for the leadership of our church family. I pray this for every leader in this church. I pray this for every member of this body. And anyone visiting us who belong to some other church, Lord, set us on fire as your people wherever we are, so that the people will see the light of the Lord shining through your church, your people, your body. Let us not be like these seven churches that you've written to those churches, and every one of them are dead today, not to be seen. I pray that this won't happen with us here, but that the light of Jesus will continue to shine through everyone in this body. That's my prayer, Lord, and that's our prayer together, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Charles. Let's stand and sing our last song today. Oh, Lord, my God.